This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Well, FFA chapters across the listening area are wrapping up the school year, and their next big event is the State FFA Convention in June. Today, we'll catch up with Hillsboro FFA member Grace Anderson about her involvement with the chapter and what she's looking forward to at State Convention next month. Grace, first time visiting with you, so tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and what your role is with the FFA chapter.
I'm the president this year. I'm a sophomore, but I'm pretty excited to be the president.
That is, it's really exciting, and I know some of your family members, and I believe you do have a little bit of a farming background.
Just a little bit. I run my family's pumpkin patch, which I use as my record book for FFA.
So tell us a little bit more about the patch. How many pumpkins or how many acres do you have, I guess would be a better way to phrase that, and just tell us a little bit about what you do there.
Well, counting how many pumpkins we have is pretty difficult, so we've never actually done that, even though a lot of people have asked like how many we sell in a year. But we have 1 acre of pumpkins and a 1 acre corn maze that we do every year.
And is that open certain months of the year, like fall, or tell us a little more?
We plant the pumpkins in June, and we're open through the end of September for National Pumpkin Day through early November.
And what I have heard about your pumpkin patch, this is kind of a family project. You have some sisters, and I think you've all kind of helped out with this over the years.
Yeah, that's right. My sister, Emma, she's the oldest. She started it a really long time ago for her record books, and then it just kept passing down to me.
Well, sounds good. You're only a sophomore, so you've got a couple more years to work on your record book. Well, we had a couple of things we wanted to talk about concerning the chapter. One of those is that we have State Convention coming up in June, and I think you'll have some members attending. So, Grace, have you been before, and maybe tell us what you enjoy about State Convention.
I went last year, and it was quite the experience. There were a lot more people than I thought there were going to be there, and everyone was really excited for it, but I didn't have much idea what was going on at first, so I'm excited to know what's going on this year and actually get a little bit more involved.
Yeah, you'll come in with a little bit of experience and not be so surprised. Mrs. Niemeyer was telling me that you have a scrapbook. The chapter has a scrapbook that you will, I guess, it will be judged at State Convention?
Yep, and we're in the process of making that scrapbook now, and our officer, Tyson Barrow, we'll be presenting that at State Convention.
All right. Well, sounds good. The other thing we wanted to talk about was there are a couple fundraisers coming up for the chapter. I think a couple of cookouts.
That's right. We'll be at the pedal poles at the county fair with the old time tractor show. And we will be at the farmers market on July 15th.
Grace Anderson, president for the Hillsboro FFA. Well, it should be no surprise that the seasonal grilling period is poised to increase demand for meat, according to statistics compiled by Oklahoma State University. The Food Demand Survey found consumers' willingness to pay for steak increased 9% this month. Meanwhile, consumers say their willingness to pay for chicken breast increased by 1% and 2.5% for pork chops compared to levels indicated in April. Consumers noted a decrease of interest for deli ham and pasta, according to the survey. The amount spent on food eaten at home in general increased 4% in May from April, and expenditures on food bought away from home decreased by 4.8%. Meat industry publication Meeting Place says consumers expect beef, chicken, and pork prices to drop in the next couple of weeks compared to 1 month ago. And we'll be back with more ag news after these messages. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is forecasting yet another year of income declines for farm country, with no immediate end in sight for low commodity prices. In 2017, USDA estimates that net farm income will drop to just $62 billion, which is half of what it was 4 years ago. National Farmers Union President Roger Johnson says such a steep drop in income has created a crisis in the farm economy, and help is needed for the farmers enduring these conditions.
Median annual farm income is projected to be negative $1,400 this year. No matter what business model you're operating under, that is just simply not sustainable. We've been receiving calls from our members indicating that we're in the midst of a crisis. And if nothing is done, we may lose a generation of family farmers and ranchers. That's alarming and has drastic implications for rural communities, our food system, and for consumers.
Johnson says price drops and spikes are inherent to ag markets, but that the current prolonged trend of depressed prices illustrates the importance of the farm safety net.
Agriculture just isn't like other markets. The ups and downs of commodity prices should not be compared to other free market systems. When we produce too much in agriculture, folks don't just eat more meals every day to get rid of that surplus. So low, unprofitable prices stay low for a long, long time. That's where we're at today. The federal government, dating all the way back to the 1930s, has taken a role in ensuring farming and ranching operations remain viable during these economic downturns. They understand it's important to do this not only for producers, but for everyone who relies on the abundant and affordable food supply that comes from our farmers.
As Congress and the new administration begin work on the 2018 Farm Bill, Johnson believes more needs to be done for farmers in order to address the current farm crisis.
From Title I of the Farm Bill to crop insurance to mediation and assistance programs, the Farm Safety Net is the backstop for farmers and ranchers. It's incredibly important right now that we shore up that backstop so family farmers can survive these difficult times. This starts with writing a farm bill that meets the needs of farmers, not just one that has to meet a certain budget. We know the 2014 farm bill was written so that it could save the government $23 billion. Well, that didn't work out so well for a lot of folks, like the Iowa corn grower, the Kansas wheat farmer, the Texan cotton producer, or the Wisconsin dairy farmer. Congress should not skimp when it comes to providing necessary support for farmers in the next farm bill.
Johnson says that agriculture mediation programs and stress assistance networks also provide important support during tough times.
When farmers' union members passed a special order of business on the farm crisis at our convention in March, they specifically called for more funding for mediation and support programs. Fortunately, Congress in the recent budget deal provided more money for these programs. Our members want a farm and ranch stress assistance network that provides support for those undergoing financial insecurity. This includes farm telephone helplines and websites, community education, support groups that conduct outreach services and activities, and on-farm assistance. The network would also support rural health systems, particularly mental health services, where these services are hard to access. We would also like to see more funding for state-run ag mediation programs. These programs help producers and their lenders find solutions for their conflicts. They go a long way in making sure farmers and ranchers can keep the farm.
If you'd like more information about the National Farmers Union and its efforts, you can visit nfu.org. And that's all we have this afternoon for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.